Welcome to Fellowship Live on Wednesday night. It's good to be back with you tonight, having an opportunity to get into God's Word, share God's Word one with another for just a few moments tonight. Man, it feels good to be in a place of refuge. The world is handing us all we can take as far as just being busy at work and everything else that's going on right now. Sometimes the pressure with the situation that we're in right now concerning the COVID-19 and trying to be prepared and all those different things. The world is handing us all we want right now, so it sure does feel good to be in a house of refuge tonight. And whether you're in the building here running sound tonight or whether you're at home watching on Facebook Live, you can make your own place a place of refuge. Just let everything else go for a few minutes. Just concentrate for a few minutes tonight with me in God's Word. I do want to encourage you not to only spend time in your Bible with me on Wednesday night and on Sunday mornings. If you're depending on me to feed you enough in order for you to be able to grow in the Word and to grow closer to God, then you're not going to be able to grow. So spend time in your Bible every single day. Spend some time with the Lord in prayer and allow Him to speak to you and to work in your life and for you to grow closer to God. You will have to put in some little extra effort right now. You're not gathering the strength from other people here in the church and being able to gather together, so put in that extra effort. It will be worth it, and it will help you in your daily life. If you will, take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter number 1. We'll be taking our reading from Acts chapter number 1 tonight. Again, I'm glad to be with you, and I ask you, if you will, just take a moment and go ahead and share the post tonight. Again, it's almost just exactly like inviting your friends and your family to be with you at church tonight. I don't claim to be a good preacher at all, but I know that God's Word is powerful and that God's Word will speak to you. I think I heard an amen from the sound booth when I said that. But anyway, God's Word is powerful and God's Word will help you as we get into the Word tonight. If you would like to share a prayer request or anything like that, please feel free to do that in the comment section. Or you can also, on our fellowship page, you can hit that send message button. And someone on the media team will be watching that throughout the week, and they're really good at getting in touch with me and letting me know that there's prayer requests there and different things. So feel free to use either one of those in order to get some prayer requests through to us. If you will, take a moment, let's bow our heads, and let's ask God to bless us tonight as we get into His Word. Lord, we thank You for this day, and we thank You for all Your many blessings. And God, I know I'm nothing without You. God, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace, but that does make me something special because You love me so much that You were willing to give Your only begotten Son for me. And God, I want to thank You and I want to praise You for that. But God, I'm not willing to, or not worthy to be able to stand here and teach Your Word tonight. God, I'm not worthy to be called one of Your children, but thank You for loving me. Thank You for all the blessings that You've given me in my life. God, thank You most of all for saving me. As we got an opportunity tonight to open Your Word, and God, let Your Word speak to us. I pray that You'll help us to clear everything else off of our mind, God, and help us to concentrate on You and only You for just a few moments tonight. God, help us to have that desire to spend time with You in Your Word and in our prayer closets, God, that we may continue to draw closer to You and become stronger Christians and walk with You every single day of our lives. God, help us to always live our lives in a way that gives You glory and will point someone else to the cross. In Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Acts chapter number 1, we're going to read the first 11 verses here in Acts chapter number 1. I do ask you to continue to pray for me even as we begin to read the Word tonight, that God will just keep the thoughts in my mind that I want to cover tonight. So many different messages that we could preach as we get into this Scripture tonight, but I got a thought that I want to share with you here in a few moments. Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day which He was taken up, after that He, the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom He had chosen." We know that Luke is writing here in the book of Acts, and I want you to notice what he begins to talk about in verse number 3, "to whom also He showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." We know that Jesus Christ has been crucified. We know that he was in a tomb for 3 days, and on that third day he arose. And we know how the women went there that morning and found that the tomb was empty and that Jesus was alive. And then Jesus was here on this earth for a period of about 40 days, as the Bible tells us here in verse number 3. And man, I'm thankful that Jesus was willing to show himself and to make himself known unto his disciples, that he had completely risen and that he was alive. It wasn't something that somebody just made up. It wasn't something that they had to wonder about, but they are actually being able to see Jesus after he arose from the grave. Verse number 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. You know that Holy Spirit that Jesus was promising unto his disciples here, that is the same Holy Spirit that I received the day that I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I got all of the Holy Spirit that I'll ever get the day that I was saved. Now it is up to me to yield myself unto the Holy Spirit and allow him to use me. Just as he was talking to his disciples here, and he says, that Holy Spirit that has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. That's what I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to be a witness and let others know what Jesus Christ has done in my life. He says, you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. Verse number 9, and when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. Can you imagine what it was to be there at that moment when Jesus Christ ascended back into heaven? Verse number 10, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, I believe their focus was on him. And God help us that in our life, that our focus remains upon Jesus Christ. Again, as they were watching him ascend up into heaven, as they were gathered together there, and as Jesus' ascension comes, can you imagine how their eyes were focused on him? I believe that anything around them that happened did not catch their attention. That anything that was going around that possibly could have taken their eyes off of Jesus, I don't believe that it took their eyes off of him. But the Bible says they were looking steadfastly as he ascended back into heaven. God help me to keep my eyes and to keep my focus on Jesus. There's a whole lot of things that go on around us. There's a whole lot of things that happen day in and day out that tries to get me to take my eyes off of Jesus. But God help me to keep my eyes on Jesus. Verse number 10, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? See, they were looking so steadfastly that here these men in white apparel was even saying that it was gazing, that they were kind of lost in it, that they were kind of just stopped and watching steadfastly, and they were gazing up into heaven. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. As we think about these men, as they were standing around and as they watched Jesus ascend back into heaven, and in verse number 10 it says they were looking steadfastly, and verse number 11 it says that they were gazing. Sometimes I want you to know that it is fun in my life for me to gaze at Jesus. It is fun for me to take a few gazes and to almost be lost in a moment looking at Jesus, and to begin to look at God's word, and even to gaze into the Old Testament and look at all the things, the wonderful things that was done in the Old Testament, some by the prophets and some just miracles of God. Even as we think about Moses leading the children of Israel out of Egypt, some of the miracles that happened there. As we think about David facing that old little giant, to look at what God did in that situation. It's fun to gaze at that, and it's amazing to gaze at that. As we talked a couple of weeks ago about Daniel there in the den of lions, it's fun to gaze at that. It's fun to think about the three Hebrew children there that was in the midst of the fiery furnace. And we know that when the king looked down, he said, "Did we not throw three men into the fire? But I see four, and the fourth is likened unto the Son of God." It is awesome to gaze, and it is awesome to think about those things in our life. And even sometimes, I think as these men were standing here and watching Jesus ascend up into heaven, it says in verse number 10 again that they were looking steadfastly. In verse number 11, that they were gazing. Sometimes I think we can get lost in our gazing that we forget where we were actually at. As they were gazing up into heaven, and as they were looking at Jesus, as they were watching him ascend up into heaven, and they were said to be gazing, maybe it's like I get sometimes, and I get to gazing about the God of the Old Testament. Or sometimes I even like to gaze at Jesus in the New Testament, as the dead was raised to life again, as the lame was made to walk, as many, many miracles were done in the New Testament. And I look and I say, how amazing it must have been for the disciples to be walking with Jesus. How amazing it must have been for them to experience his presence in their life. How wonderful it must have been to see those things that Jesus did, feeding 5,000 with a couple of fish and some loaves of bread, to see the things that Jesus did while he was here on the earth. I love to gaze at those things and look at those things. But as they were standing there gazing at Jesus ascending up into heaven, as they were looking steadfastly, as those men in white apparel said, "Why do you stand here gazing? Why do you stand here looking? Why are you still gazing up into heaven?" This same Jesus, I want you to know that sometimes in my life, I get to gazing so much about the God of the Old Testament, or I get to gazing so much at the experience that the disciples had with Jesus in the New Testament. I get to gazing on that so much that I forget that this same Jesus is the Jesus that I'm serving today. This same Jesus is the Jesus that saved me when I was 7 years old. We get so busy gazing sometimes that we forget about this same Jesus. These men were standing here and they were gazing up into heaven. They were watching him go away. And these men spoke up and said, "Why stand you here gazing? Yeah, it's fun and it's amazing and it's exciting to look at the God of the Old Testament, the Jesus of the New Testament. It's awesome to look at those things. But why you're standing gazing sometimes, or why we get caught up in gazing at the Old Testament works, or why we get caught up gazing at the miracles of the New Testament, don't get so caught up in gazing that you forget about this same Jesus that's in your life today. This same Jesus that done the amazing things in the New Testament. This same God that done the works in the Old Testament. That is the same God. That is the same Jesus that I'm serving tonight. That is the same Holy Spirit that moved into my life at the age of 7. I'm so thankful to know that I'm serving this same Jesus. That it's not an imposter and it's not somebody else that's going to be substituted in. That it didn't have to be handed off to someone else. But this same Jesus is the Jesus that I'm serving tonight. Don't get so, it's okay to gaze. It's okay to look at the works of the Old Testament. It's okay to look at the miracles in the New Testament and to be excited about them and to know what God did and to praise God and worship God for showing himself like that, for being real. But don't forget that this same Jesus is the one that you're serving today. This same Jesus is the one that saved me. This same Jesus is the one that I'm serving. He is still the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. There's so much things going on around us right now. There's so many different possibilities that we have running through our mind about who's in charge and what's going on and all these different things. But I want you to know something, that this same Jesus is the one that's in charge. This same Jesus is the one that's calling the shots. This same Jesus is the one that's holding us all in the palm of his hands tonight. We were saved by this same Jesus. We are serving this same Jesus. This same Jesus is still my rock. He's still my fortress. He's still my high tower. He's still the one that I got my confidence in. He's the one that I've got my trust in. He's the one that I am depending on. I'm thankful that I'm serving this same Jesus. As these men were standing and gazing, as they were watching Jesus ascend up into heaven, they were asked, "Why stand you here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." I'm glad that this same Jesus is the Jesus that saved me. He is the Jesus that I'm serving, and he is the Jesus that I'm seeking. You know, day in and day out of my life, sometimes I have to refocus. Sometimes, many times, every single day. There are days that I get up and it seems like my focus is where it's supposed to be, like we were talking about earlier. And there are days when my focus are in other areas of my life, when my focus is not what it should be. Something else has caught my attention. Sometimes it's on good things, and then there's sometimes that worry and doubt and different things come in my life and they catch my attention. But I want you to know that this same Jesus should be who I'm seeking. This same Jesus should be who I am watching for, who I am waiting on. That should be my heart's desire. The Bible tells us that one day that the eastern sky is going to split and the church is going to be called up out of here. I'm looking forward to the day when I finally, my faith will end in sight. You know, I told somebody just today, I know that, you know, people are looking at the end times and people are studying about the end times and they're looking at the situation that we're in right now. Hey, I don't believe it's going to be long when the church is raptured up out of this place. I'm ready to go if it's my time. I'm not trying to catch the bus tonight as far as dying, but I want to tell you something. When it's my time to go, I'm ready to go. I know without a doubt that Jesus Christ did a work in my life, that Jesus Christ has forgiven me of my sins. And if I stand before God, not because of my righteousness, not because of anything that I have done other than accepting Jesus Christ, that I am ready to go. If something happens to me tomorrow, you don't have to doubt. I know that you can't be assured of my salvation, neither can I be of yours. But I want you to know something. If something happens to me tomorrow, I'll be waiting for you on the other side. If that eastern sky splits tomorrow, if you're ready to meet Jesus and you know him as your personal Savior, I'll see you on the other side and we'll be together for all eternity. We should be seeking this same Jesus, watching and waiting. He said he wanted to come back after a church that is watching and waiting for him. I'm saved by this same Jesus. I'm serving this same Jesus. I am seeking this same Jesus. And one day I will see this same Jesus. As these men were standing here watching Jesus ascend back up into heaven, as they were asked a question, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. You know, the promises that was made here in Acts chapter number 1, verse number 11, is still true tonight. This same Jesus that they watch ascend into heaven is the Jesus that's coming back after his church. I know that right now that he's seated at the right hand of the Father. I know, you know what, sometimes as I was talking a few minutes ago, we think about the disciples and how wonderful it must have been to walk with Jesus and to experience the presence of Jesus. But if we would think about it for just a minute, we have the opportunity to walk with Jesus every single day, to have a personal experience with Jesus. You know what, sometimes we don't focus on our personal relationship with God. When we look at a personal relationship with God, we think about the day that we got saved. That was the day that my personal relationship started with God. That wasn't what completed my personal relationship. That's when it started, and I should be seeking a closer walk and a more personal relationship with him every single day. As the disciples had that opportunity to walk with him and to experience his presence in their life, I have that same opportunity with the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of me. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, they're all three one. You can't separate them. You can't have one without the other. I know that I have the Holy Spirit in my life. Don't try to understand that or explain all of that. Just live it by faith, love it by faith, and know it by faith that the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of you is the Holy Spirit of God. I'm glad that I have that opportunity to have that same experience that the disciples had, walking with Jesus, having that experience with Jesus. But sometimes my personal relationship is not what it should be. Think about it like this. What if you looked at your relationship with your spouse and you say, when somebody says, how was your relationship with your spouse? And you said, oh, yeah, we met way back in when. I'll use my wife for an example. We met way back in high school. I won't go into some of my favorite stories tonight. Some of the church, y'all are giggling right now because y'all know some of my favorite stories to tell about me and Autumn. But if I'd always described my relationship with Autumn as the day that we met, you know, Autumn was swept off her feet the day that she met me. She walked up to me and she said, you're Travis's little brother, right? And she already had hearts in her eyes. No, it was me. It was I fell in love at first sight. But as we met that day, if I always had to go back to there and say, that's why I have a relationship with God. You know, but it's not. I've had 21 years with them, and over time, our relationship has grown closer. There's been good days. There's been bad days. There's been things that we've had to work through. There's been struggles and different things, but they've been such wonderful times in our marriage, and I can talk about our relationship for 21 years and tell you things that happened in our relationship. How is your relationship with God? Do you have to rely on just that one time that you and him met? Or can you say, I have a personal relationship with God, that I have experienced his presence in my life, that I know what it's like to walk with him? I think that's a desire that we should all have. I didn't mean to chase a rabbit on that, but it just kind of come to me as we were going here. We are seeking the same Jesus, and we shall see the same Jesus. I'm looking forward to the day. You know what? We have all been so blessed that we have forgot sometimes. Let me back up. I have forgotten sometimes that I'm a pilgrim and a stranger here. This world sometimes means too much to me. I have forgotten that this is my getting ready place. This is where God has put me to have that relationship with him, that I can be with him for eternity. And sometimes this world gets to where it means a little too much to us. But I think if we really known and we really had an idea what he has prepared for us, what eternity is going to be like, I believe the first thing we do every single morning when we got up is look toward that sky and see if this same Jesus, if this is going to be the day that he's coming for us. One day he's going to come for us, church. I hope you're ready. I hope you're watching. I hope you're waiting. And in that hope, you can know for sure that you're ready to meet the Lord. I want to thank you for being with us tonight. I want to thank you for taking a few minutes and listening to the lesson tonight. I hope that it's been a blessing to you. As I read this and I got to thinking about this same Jesus, I'm glad that I'm not serving a God that is Old Testament old. I'm not serving a God that was stuck in the New Testament with the miracles of his son. But I am serving a God that is real in my life tonight. I am serving a God that in my future, and I believe in my very near future, that I will be in his presence for all eternity. Again, thank you for being with us. I hope the lesson tonight has been a blessing to you. I do ask you to continue to be much in prayer for the situation that we're in. I'm looking forward to the time when we can all be in church together. I ask you to be much in prayer for the leaders of your church, for the pastor of your church, for me. I ask you for the churches around us. There's going to be some difficult decisions that have to be made as things begin to soft reopening. And I don't know, as you watch the news, it's all so confusing. It's all so wishy-washy. There's going to be some difficult decisions. And I assure you that the men that you have serving here in leadership roles are doing their best to figure out how to get back into church. I ask you to be much in prayer for them, that we'll always make the right decision. We want to make decisions that keep our people safe. We want to make decisions that glorify God. And we want to make decisions, most of all, that God would be pleased with. And when all is said and done, the most important thing is that we're able to be in a place to come together and worship and lead others to come to know Jesus Christ. If you will, share the video tonight. I know that kind of gets monotonous, but share, share, share. And I will, good Lord willing, see you Sunday morning, 10 o'clock. Thank you. Y'all have a good night.